Welcome to the Right This Way podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bennett, and today I'm joined once again by my friend, Justin Finley. Today we continue this series on disciple making through remembrance. We're looking at the Passover meal where the people of God would look back on what God has done to prove that he is faithful to continue working in their lives. And just like they did in the Passover meal, we can tell the people that God brings into our lives what God has done in order to show that he is still working today. And we are praying that this podcast has been a blessing to you. We're excited for where we've come and what the future will bring. So if you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and click the notification bell so you don't miss an episode. And please be sure to share it with your friends, as I know that it will be an impactful series as you look to follow the calling of God in your life to go and make disciples. But with all that said, let's dive in right this way.
After they did the first cup, after they had they would wash their hands, and that's where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Then they would have that first appetizer of the parsley dipped in salt water. Then they would move into, actually, I might be getting my timelines a little bit off, but I believe they would move into the second cup from there. Either they would take the afikoman, the matzah bread, the unleavened bread, and they would, the owner of the house would break the middle piece in half, put half of it back, and then wrap up the other middle piece and hide it as a game for the kids later to find after the meal. So they would do that, and then there was a second cup. And so actually, yeah, it was. So they would break the afikoman first, hide it. Everybody would close their eyes. And then the leader of the feast would hide the broken piece of bread. And then they would come back and everybody would open their eyes. And then the kids would begin to ask questions. You know, so they would ask questions as far as, hey, why is this night different? Why do we only eat unleavened bread? Why do we only eat bitter herbs? Why do we only eat while reclining at the table? Why, you know, why are all these things the way that they are? And the kids would have practiced. And then the owner of the house would hold up the second cup and begin to tell the story of how the Lord led the Israelites out of Egypt and into the desert, starting off with the promise from Abraham all the way through to the story of how they got to Egypt, how they became slaves in Egypt, how the Lord delivered them. And with each of the different things that, with each of the 10 plagues, as they were retelling the story, they began to pour out a little bit of wine from the glass to represent that there was pain and suffering for the Egyptians as well. You know, hey, they suffered because the Pharaoh's hardened heart against the Lord, right? How he wouldn't let the people go. And so there was pain and bitterness in the middle of the freedom that came. And so that second cup represented the second promise, I will free you from being slaves. And it also represented it was called the cup of freedom. You know, I will free you from being slaves. And so was reading this other book about you know, how the Israelites, one phrase that we've said pretty often is you can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of the Israelites. You know, like they had to die in the desert because they wanted so badly to go back in Egypt. You know, and it was only Joshua and Caleb who left Egypt and made it to the land that the Lord promised them. And so in our hearts as well, there's that freedom that comes from telling the stories of what God's done in our heart. And so oftentimes it's if things that are we're bound by, you know, addictive sins, sins that we just can't seem to shake. You know, typically what we've seen through, you know, even 12-step programs, things like that, you know, there's power in sharing your testimony, saying the Lord, this is what I'm going through. It's that confession that this is the junk that I'm dealing with. And then once you begin to start telling the story, that's when the freedom starts to really happen. People can begin to hold you accountable. You know, you start to slowly break off that addiction cycle, right? And you'll be able to see the freedom that comes from telling the story. And so that's why it's so powerful, that second cup. They're telling the story of how the Lord led them out of Egypt as a reminder that there is struggle, there is pain in the middle of the freedom that comes. But at the same time, you know, there's freedom, there's sweetness on the other side of it.
That's right.
And so the same way that the Egyptians, they struggled in the desert, you know, can't take the Egypt out of the Egyptians, you know, in the same way, sometimes we might be free and called out, you know, the Lord has saved us, you know, where our eternity is set, but we're still struggling, right? And so there's freedom in being able to tell the stories. You're able to testify. Testimony means like, hey, do it again, right? It's the, hey, I've seen this happen in my life. This is where I'm struggling. Now you tell me your story. I need to hear your story of how you were delivered, how you were set free, mm-hmm. because this is the stuff I'm taking off my mask. This is the real me, right?
That's right.
This is what I'm struggling with and I need help. And so there's freedom that comes from that.
And there's, it's so good because we don't talk enough about the fact that even though our Christ is for us, he's going to provide for us, he's going to work it out, doesn't mean that it's not going, that life is just fantastically easy all the time. Because there's lots of times that we have to, and everyone, every follower of Christ, if you're going to follow Christ for a long time, you're going to have to follow him through some times that it doesn't really seem to make sense. Mm-hmm. As I look horizontally in the world, it doesn't seem to make sense what I'm doing, mm-hmm. or where I'm being called to, or what's going on right now doesn't seem to make sense. But I only see in a limited picture.
Yeah,
he sees everything, and I need to trust that he's faithful. And so as I tell that story, it reminds me that he is faithful, mm-hmm. and there is struggle, and I'm going to appreciate the freedom on the other side because of the struggle, because it was pain with a purpose. It's not just pain. It's not just because he likes inflicting pain or like he wants you to suffer. It's struggle with a purpose. I think of James 1:2, count it joy when you face trials of various kinds. The mm-hmm. testing of your faith produces patience. Mm-hmm. So like there is pain and there is sorrow, but we need to count it joy because I know that he's creating in me this person who can be used by him mm-hmm. for him to tell his story to other people mm-hmm. so that they can too see how God is faithful in their own lives and how he's been working in their own lives to call them out and to set them free.
I want to come on for just a moment and talk about the ministry that God has called our family to launch. Last year, we launched Salt Shaker Ministries. Salt Shaker Ministries exists to serve the local church by equipping leaders through detailed assessment and customized training to cultivate a culture of well-seasoned, lifelong discipleship. This podcast is just a part of what we can do to come alongside your church to help equip believers in Christ for disciple making. We now offer a course on disciple making that can be tailored to your needs, designed to teach principles that will work for everyone, from kids to adults, to take them from a new believer to someone who's making disciples of their own. So if you're interested in learning more about what we can do for you, please find us at saltshakerministries.org, and we will be glad to connect with you. Now let's get back into today's episode.
You know, when I say looking at it, a limited picture, I think of like, you know, I think of kids and my own kids, and they see something, but they don't see the full picture of how it'll work out. But I know how it'll work.
Yeah, right?
Like I know. And like, you might have like when my babies were little, right? It was like, they would cry about something that didn't, I know it's not this bad, right? Mm-hmm. I know it's not bad, but for right now, you think this is like the worst thing in your life.
Happened.
The worst thing that's ever happened in your life. Like getting in the car seat, it's going to be the worst, the most awful thing ever, right? But I'm doing this because it's safe for you. like I'm doing this because it's the best place for you to ride mm-hmm. in the car is to get in the car seat. But how often do our kids struggle to get in the car seat and cry and kick and scream? And it's just like, this seems sometimes like an awful process.
Yeah.
Just put them into the car seat. But that's the safest place for them. And I know it's the safest place for them, but they don't know that yet. Cause they're just an infant.
Yeah.
So we need, if we were followers of Christ, right? If they had trusted and known that dad's got it, mom mm-hmm. and dad have got it, they're putting me in the car seat. It must be for my own good.
I don't have to like it,
but I'm going to sit here because this is for my own good. We do that as Christians too. We act just like that infant that we're trying to push in the toddler seat when God's trying to do something in our life for us, for mm-hmm. our good. For as we move forward, he's trying to do something for us, but we're kicking and screaming and we're trying to fight against it mm-hmm. because all we see is you're trying to buckle me and restrain me and get me into this car seat.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing that for our good. He's doing mm-hmm. that for us. and trusting that is probably a difficult thing.
Yeah.
But in telling those stories, if we continue to tell ourselves those stories and remember the stories of how he even led the Israelites, be able to tell that story.
One of the stories, one of the things that the Israelites would do as they went through and conquered the land, they would set up altars, you know, rocks, pillars of rocks to remind themselves, hey, this is what the Lord did. And one of the first things that Joshua, as he was leading them, the Lord parted the Jordan River so they could get into the promised land, you know, the Ark of the Covenant standing on the banks while everybody crossed over. And he says, hey, first people to cross over, grab some stones from the middle of the river, stack it up on the other side to say, this is what the Lord has done, so that every time for generations, as we walk by this Jordan River and see these stacked stones, we remember this is what the Lord has done for us. And so while the way I look at the what are the memories, what are the altars in your life that you can say, this is what the Lord has done. Let me remember, let me tell this story so that I remember it well. And one of the ones for me, like, I had it in my head that I wanted to be a youth pastor, not a kids pastor. I had it that way for a long time. And I graduated all the way through college, after college, 3 years working, ended up, I'm a VPK preschool teacher in Florida, you know, and I'm ended up at a youth camp and I'm arguing with God. I'm helping lead a youth camp. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? Right? I have been waiting for an opportunity to come along and I don't see anything on the horizon. What are you doing? I believe you've called me to this. And the Lord's like, well, listen, are you going to be more effective as a preschool teacher? If you're going to be more effective for my kingdom as a preschool teacher, that can I leave you there? And I was like, no. And I wrestled with God in that moment. I was upset. And it came to the point I had to trust his will, trust him. Hey, all right, God, if you need me to be a preschool teacher because it's going to be better for your kingdom, then okay, I'll be a preschool teacher for the rest of my life. And I will resign myself to that. And then, like, literally 2 months later, I had two offers for different positions, one with the youth pastor position, one was a kids pastor position, where I'm at currently. And I knew in my heart that the Lord was calling me here to be a kids pastor. But if I had not let it go first, And so the struggle, I was fighting that car seat, don't restrain me. This is what I think is best.
Not what I want.
Not what I want, right? And so what are those pillars in your life? What are those things that you can point to and say, this is what the Lord has done for me, but there was submission in that, you know? And so, and that goes right into, you know, there's pain in the middle of the blessing. There's pain in the middle of the freedom that comes from, you know, I'm bound to my sin and now I'm free, but there's going to be a struggle for it. And one of the next things they would do in the meal is they would take the rest of the matzah bread, take the rest of the bread, they would break it apart and they would dip it in both horseradish, which extremely bitter, and like an apple chutney. And so, and they would mix together and eat it. And they would remind them there's bitterness in the middle of the freedom that came. There was pain for the Egyptians. There was pain for the Israelites. Yeah. They were terrified. They didn't know what was going on. You know, they were trapped at the edge of the Red Sea and then they were afraid. And then they went into the desert, you know, they didn't have as much of the blessing of the food that they had in Egypt, you know. There was a lot of hardships in the desert, but there was sweetness that came with it as well because there was freedom that came with it. And so, and it was in those moments that Jesus revealed that somebody would betray him. You know, even in the Lord's last days of his life, there was bitterness in the middle of the sweetness. They had to go through the suffering of betrayal, torture, death on the cross, which is literally designed to be the worst death imaginable. And then there was this freedom that came with that, the sweetness of redemption of our lives, the buying back of our lives. And so, golly, there's just so much to that.
Well, I love that in those stories, as they're telling of what God did, they're also pointing to something that he's going to do in the future, the promise that he's going to do in the future. Because at the point when they're the first Passover meals, when they're doing this around their family tables in the first Passovers, they've been delivered from Egypt, but they're pointing to where they're ultimately going to be delivered and the perfect Messiah that's going to come.
They're currently under Roman occupation. They don't own the land that the Lord promised them anymore. So
So they have to be able to hold on to what happened in order to move forward to what is going to happen, the promise that he's going to happen. So
yeah.
in our lives right now, we look at what Christ did on the cross, the resurrection, what he's done in our lives mm-hmm. up to this point, individually in our lives, to tell the stories to say God is faithful and he's going to be faithful to fulfill the promises that mm-hmm. are yet to come in Scripture, mm-hmm. right? The promises that he points to in Scripture about an eternity with him, a new heaven, a new earth, like all those things that we know will happen. But the only way I know those things will happen is because of the stories of the things that he's done in the past, and pointing to those things in the past gives me trust and faith that those things will also become yeah. true, and that this suffering is just for a moment, right?
And like, in the same way, you know, we just had the recent interview with Eddie and Beth Taylor. Yes. One of the things that Eddie encouraged me, I mentioned in the last podcast too, like, hey, listen, encouragement is helping people understand that they don't have to quit. You know, people want to quit, and encouragement is saying don't quit. Yeah. Right. It's, and so in the same way, you know, as we're discipling people, you know, we can preach to ourselves, you know, for when we're going through a hard time, to remember what the Lord has done so that he's going to bring us through the other side. And the same way, we can encourage people in the same way. Hey, look at what the Lord has done in your life. You know, I remember six months ago, this is what you were going through and you thought it was the worst thing imaginable. You look at where you are now. You know, I'm really trying to do that, with my wife right now. She's struggling with some anxiety things. And so, but then there's been such great progress, you know, as we've been talking with people and praying and fasting and all these things. And like, when I look at where she was about a year ago, it's night and day difference, you know? And so often we can get caught up in the moment, you know, and be like, well, it's just never going to get better. Listen, when was the last moment that you had, you know? Mm. I remember when it was literally moments that lasted for 3 weeks on end, you know, and now you're having one moment that lasts maybe 2 days, mm. you know, and you're coming out on the other side of it. Like, there's such great progress,
yeah.
you know? And so often we can, you know, in encouragement, we can say, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done in your life in the past, and I trust that he's going to be able to move you forward to it.
And that's why I love getting around people that are in a different season of life than you are, in that they can, if they're in a season, like they're older than you are and they've been through it. And maybe we're both dads of young kids.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff that goes with young kids. But then if you get around families that have kids that are graduated from high school and are in college, mm-hmm. They can look back and say, I know this is not ideal right now, but there will be more challenges and we're through those challenges. Like, we had those same kind of challenges and we're through them on the other side,
yeah.
because God is faithful. And this is what God did in that situation. This is what God did for our kids. And now they're, look at them. They're graduated college. They're in the workforce. They're doing mm-hmm. great things. They're mm-hmm. pastors. Like, we're encouraging our adult kids now. Right. And yep. then, and so we can be encouraged by that. Like mm-hmm. you said, to be able to say, well, if they made it, like,
yeah,
if God did it for them, God can do it for me too.
And I think in this as well, you have to remember, because like, if we're looking at these cups, you know, and this Passover meal, this remembrance meal, as kind of a process for us as well, we can't skip the first step, you know, which yeah. is to see and acknowledge the pain, you know, mm-hmm. which is what they did. They acknowledged the pain that the Israelites went through. They acknowledged their own pain that they were going through right then under Roman occupation. You know, it was like, listen, in the same way, yes, we're going to encourage that there's sweetness, but we have to be able to acknowledge the pain that they're going through as yeah. well, you know, because
yeah.
that is part of it. It's real. It's hurtful. I understand what you're going through, and I'm sorry. This is terrible, right? And so being able to understand, sympathize with their pain, and then to encourage. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are so grateful for each of our followers. I'll remind you once again to subscribe and hit the notification bell and share this podcast. We have some exciting interviews and some topics coming up that you will not want to miss. And you won't want your friends to miss it either, so make sure to share this with them. But until we see each other again, keep following Jesus and remember that a life of disciple making is right this way.